To all of you, I extend my deepest wishes and my sincere prayers for a truly blessed Easter. We say happy Easter, and yes, that is good, but an Easter that is truly blessed, that this resurrection changes our lives. We had a glorious celebration last night, the Easter Vigil, starting outside with a large fire, blessing of the fire, blessing of the new Easter candle. And then we come in from the dark, and all the people there had small candles, and in three stages, that light from the Easter candle, from the blessed fire, was passed out, the church dark. And slowly that light grew and grew and grew until finally at the Gloria, which was after seven readings of the Old Testament and then two from the New, all the lights came on and the light of Christ was represented in that. And last night I shared with them what I'm going to share with you this morning. The Liturgy of the Hours are prayers. This is it's called the Breviary, this book right here. And priests at their ordination promise to pray 5 hours a day, not 60-minute intervals, but five of these what's called hours. And one of them is called the Office of Readings, which is typically done in the morning. It can be done anytime. And I want to share with you, in the Office of Readings, there is a reading from Scripture. And then there's another reading, the second reading, which is a commentary usually. It could be from a church document. But the one for yesterday morning was for Holy Saturday. So we had just got done the night or the day before with Good Friday, where we participate in real time, if you will, the crucifixion, the death, and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the God who created us, who took on our flesh so that we might become like Him, that He might save us from our sins. We just got done with that, and then Saturday morning rolls around, and this is what we read every Saturday of Easter, Holy Saturday. It's from an ancient homily. Says something strange is happening. There's a great silence on earth today. A great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the King is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh. And He has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. God has died in the flesh, and all hell trembles with fear. There's much more. I was tempted to make the whole thing my homily. Maybe next year I will. The whole earth keeps silence. Why? Something strange has happened. The strangeness of God, as Bishop Barron titled one of his great books, The Strangest Way, that God, infinitely beyond us, took on our very flesh. As St. Augustine put it, God became us that we might become like Him. And when He died in the flesh, silence. All hell trembles with fear. When we're fearful, we might be trembling, but we will be silent because we don't want to be discovered. And all hell trembles with fear because the very one who put Him on the cross now knows of the victory to come, that Satan himself will be defeated. God has died in the flesh. Through that one word of Our Lady, Mary, at the Annunciation, changed all of human history. That God whose pure spirit now takes on our very nature. And on Holy Thursday night, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, the beginning of his passion, Father Nate Kuhn, our native son, preached at that Mass Thursday night. And he asked a question from one of the readings. Do you realize what he has done for you? Do you realize what he has done for you? He died our death. Because I can only speak for me. That should be my image up there. I should have been put on the cross. The wages of sin is death. And so each one of us must say with all honesty, that was mine to endure, not his. But he died our death. What is he doing? Rising from the dead. What I just described to you last night represents us coming from the darkness of the tomb. The death of a world that says God doesn't exist, or God doesn't matter, or I just don't have enough time for God. The darkness, that's why last night's Mass starts in the darkness. And we come in, and little by little, that light spreads. We walk into the glowing light of the resurrection. So last night I asked a question about yesterday. Reflecting on this beautiful reading, was the world silent yesterday? No. We went about our day doing our usual Saturday thing. Why? Well, and I did too, to a degree, because I don't fully realize that the King was asleep. I don't fully understand, or I fully don't appreciate, that God in fact died my death. And last night and this morning, is the world going about its normal thing? For most people, yes. Because maybe we don't realize that the King is risen. That death has no hold over him, and it has no hold over those who are united to him. Because you see, what changes everything is the resurrection. Down through the ages, there have been one after another who have said, follow me. Follow me. I have the message for you of happiness. I have the way of happiness. I have a religion for you. It's a very popular thing today to say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Which means I don't buy into the organized religion, as it's said. Fact of the matter is, everybody has a religion. Every single person. Religion is merely that set of rules, beliefs, and attitudes that I believe is going to lead me to happiness. That's going to give me life, and life to the full. But of all those who have proposed a religion, there's only one who said, follow me, because I rose from the dead. St. Paul says that if Christ has not risen from the dead, if this really didn't happen, so then your faith is in vain. He's right. If Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, then you and I are wasting our time here this morning. If Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, the next Sunday, you'll be wasting your time. But if he did, then there's nowhere on earth that we could be, should be, or want to be than right here giving praise and glory to the one who mounted my cross for me and your cross for you. Now, there are many who will claim that this resurrection is just a myth. Just a fairy tale that a bunch of people made up years and years ago, and it's somehow kind of hung on. Kind of like Santa Claus. Oops. We have kids here. That was not a planned statement. Tell them don't listen to Father today. Sorry, you got 9 months. Anyway, I should just stick to the notes, you know? Where was I? People do say that. Well-intentioned people say it's just a myth. But among many other problems with that, here's one. Historians, believers and non-believers alike, hold the Gospels to be very highly reliable historical documents. Do we believe other history from these same people? Sure we do. Did Pearl Harbor happen? We know it did. We know it did. Well, why? Because we accept the testimony of honorable people. But even more, we know that people gave their very lives to defend the truth of this event. I don't know about you. I will not give up my life for a myth. I won't. Neither would you. But down through the ages, for 2,000 years, millions have given their lives for this. Why? Because it is true. He did die on a cross. He was put in a tomb, and he did rise from the dead. Every Mass, every Sunday Mass, we proclaim what we believe. And we're going to do it today, here in just short order, in a different form. Normally we say, I believe in one God, but today I'm going to ask you and myself questions, and we'll say, I do, I do, I do. The question is for you and for me, do we truly believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death, was buried, and rose again from the dead? I go back to Father Nate's profound homily and question. Do you realize? Do I? Do we really realize what he's done for us?